it's Mother's Day. So, how many of you spoilt your mums today? Okay, so what did you do for mum today?
On Friday we got some stuff to put in water, hot water to wash their feet, and we like to have a long
nice.
Last night, and no one rushed it, and we made a breakfast in bed.
Excellent. There we are. So that's something that that takes a lot of beating. That does, Alan. That was really spoiling. Emma. Lots of presents. Anybody else spoiling mums? Do right.
I gave mum a breakfast in bed.
Breakfast in bed. Excellent. Josh? A bouquet of chocolates. That is awesome. I want a bouquet of chocolates. That's fantastic. So, why is it... Let me ask you this question then. Is it only this day that we spoil our mums on?
No.
Or should we spoil our mums... Every day?
Yeah, every day.
Every day, okay. So that means then, from what you said earlier, that means never rushing mum in the bath ever again, and spoiling her all the time, and buying lots of presents all the time, and breakfast in bed all the time, and bouquets of chocolates every week. So do you think then our mums would rather all of those things, or do you think they'd rather us behave all the time? Behave all the time and do away with the chocolates and flowers and breakfast in bed. All of them say yes. Just behave. So, with that in mind, what then do we... Let me ask you a question. What symbol then do we most associate with Mother's Day? What symbol do we associate with Mother's Day? And this is something that I've seen today lots and lots and lots. So I've seen a picture today for Mother's Day, and it had this symbol in. And then I saw somebody put up on Facebook in a foreign language that I didn't understand, but I understood the symbol that she put at the end of that language. And then oftentimes when our girls were little and they'd always draw a picture of Auntie Jo as their mum, they would always do the same symbol. Now, this is one I did earlier, and it took me ages to do this picture, so nobody laugh, okay? So what do you think, then, is a symbol that we associate with Mother's Day?
Love.
So I've seen pictures of, children draw pictures for their mammies, and they say how much they love them, and put a big heart on there, and Talani put something up in, which I assume was Afrikaans, but... but there was a heart at the end of it, so... That's a universal symbol, isn't it? It describes love. And I saw Drew had given something to his mother and there was a heart on there. And so we associate with Mother's Day a love that we have for our mums. Do you think our mums love us back? Alison, we had a snigger then off Charlotte. So I think whatever needs to be done when she gets home, there we are. Don't forget mum's upstairs now. So, do you think our mums love us in return? Do you know how much our mums sacrifice for us in looking after us and in providing for us and helping us to grow and to develop? And so we ought to love our mums because we know our mums love us. But as much as our mums love us, who do you think loves us even more than our mums? Jesus, on today, you have proved you will love to your mum. Our mums prove our love to us all the time by looking after us and providing for us and even disciplining us. We don't realise it at the time, but even that is out of love. How did you prove you will love to your mums today? Spoiling them. Breakfast in bed, cards, flowers, chocolates. So we demonstrated our love. How do you think God demonstrated his love for us? By dying on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we're going to look at We're going to look at the heart today. That's the symbol of love, as it were. We're going to look at the heart. So, as much as God loves us, do we always love God like we should? As much as our mums love us, do we always love our mums as we should? Do we demonstrate our love to our mums as we should? We don't always, do we? So the Bible says, in Jeremiah, the Bible says that the heart is what? Good? Nice? Pleasant? We love pictures of hearts. See, you know, when you're a certain age, for some reason, you become obsessed with drawing hearts everywhere. And sometimes you'll even draw hearts on top of the eyes instead of dots. And suddenly we become fascinated with just drawing hearts. I think it's a teenage thing, but anyway, you do grow out of it. But we like, you know, the picture of the heart. It looks so lovely. A real heart doesn't look like that. I was going to put one up, but it looks quite... might be a bit queasy for our Mother's Day dinner today. But that's, you know, they're like a universal picture of the heart. So it looks quite pleasing. But Jeremiah says the heart is what? Good, pleasing, pleasant, nice. What does Jeremiah say about the heart? Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked. Our hearts are desperately wicked. So, again, don't laugh at my crafting skills. Aww. I made this Friday. That took a lot of effort to cut that out. And this, I'm just not appreciated in this church. Because the look of disdain upon all of your faces is just heartbreaking. Right. Okay, so, the Bible says, Jeremiah says, the heart is desperately wicked. Why do you think, I can't get this open now, I should have done this earlier. Why do you, look out. Only wanted one. That's Joe going over the top. Now, if you're going to buy pens, get the proper ones. Thanks for that. Right. So how is the heart desperately wicked? We always look for somebody else to blame. First one. That was a whole part of this. So how is the heart desperately wicked? What do you think that means when it says the heart is desperately wicked?
Like, say, for instance, I farted and I blamed it on Oreo.
Okay. We try not to say things like that, but okay. Why do you think the heart is desperately wicked? Because of what? Because we were made that way. The Bible says that when Adam, what did Adam do in the Garden of Eden that caused that to be passed on to all of us? Sin. So Adam sinned. So what do you think... when Adam sinned, it says all of that sin was then passed on to us. Do we have to be taught how to sin? We don't have to be taught how to sin. Nobody sits us down and teaches us how to do bad things. We do bad things naturally. So what are some of the bad things that we do? And try and be mindful of not being too descriptive. Okay, so what are some of the bad things that we do? Naughty in school, so in what way? Not listening?
Silliness.
Messing around. Hating people, okay. So, hate people. Not listening. Okay. Anything else? Stealing. What have you stolen? No, I didn't. Steve, hang on, let me just move the offering bags. I'm so many teeth. Stealing, okay.
Disrespecting other people.
Okay. Disrespect. Mocking. I was on disrespect. Okay. Exactly. Okay. So think about some of the commandments. Because the Bible says, because we're talking about sin, and the Bible says that sin is a what of the law? Can you remember? Transgression. And that just means sin is breaking God's commandments. So even if we thought of some of God's commandments, we can find out what sin is. And sin literally means falling short, missing the mark, not coming up to like a level of perfection. We fall short. So what are some of the ways that we can kill? And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that in the Old Testament it said, thou shalt not kill. But in the New Testament he said, even if you hate somebody, which you've already had hate, even if you hate somebody, that's, you're almost guilty of committing murder in your heart. Not respecting our parents. Okay. So, dishonouring our parents. Anything else? Talking behind people's backs. That's a good one, because oftentimes we think, you know, oh, well, it says don't lie, but we can talk about people behind their backs, and that's not good either. Okay. So we got a few things down here. So, what started off as a really pretty looking heart that was hours of painstaking crafting by an expert has suddenly turned into something that's not that nice. So how do you think we could get rid of some of these things? Or what colour should we have next? So much to choose from. What colour? Red. It's a red heart. You're not going to see that, are you? Okay. So, pink. So how do you think there's some ways we can get rid of these? So if we weren't listening, how do you think we could start listening? Okay. So how do we get rid of that out of our heart then? Because sometimes, even though we say, right, I'm going to be good and I'm going to do that, and do we turn over a new leaf? What if we wait till New Year's Eve, New Year's resolution, and then we say, right, from this year on, I'm going to start listening. That's a good idea. Okay, so we'll cross that out and we put New Year resolution. Okay. What about stealing? How can we stop doing it? Who steals? Okay. It's coming to another one. Right, we'll miss kill. Lying. How can we stop lying? Why is it we do this? And I don't know, maybe the adults do this. I don't know. Why is it that sometimes in school, somebody can say, oh, I just got a new toy, or I just got a new this, or I just got this. And we've got to say, oh, well, I've got them, one of them as well. And we haven't. Or we say, oh, well, I got a better one than that. Have you ever got friends like that, and you say that you've had something new, and you've had something for your birthday, and it's so exciting, and you go into school and say, oh, I can't believe I've got this. And they turn around and say, oh, well, I got the next one up, and I got the latest model, and I got a better one. And not frustrating. But do we do that sometimes? Do we want to lie just to show that we're better, or that we got something better? Or so how can we stop doing that with lying then? I tell you what, we'll just try and get rid of that. I don't know what we do with stealing. Should we just pretend it didn't happen? Will that make it go away? Hate. We can try and like people. So if we just turn that to like instead of hate. And if we not listen to our parents, should we just pretend?
No.
Should we just listen to them? This is a good idea. No, I shouldn't say that. Shall we just listen to them in front of their faces and then kind of inside not listen to them? That might work. So on the outside it looks okay. So I tell you what we can do. This is really clever. If we cross out the dis, we'll then be left with honour. So instead of dishonouring our parents, it'll say honour our parents. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's made things better. So New Year's resolution for not listening. We turned hate to love. We just ignored stealing. We tried to get rid of lying. And we changed dishonour our parents to honour our parents. Is that better? Or was that worse? Worse. Right, okay. So, how do we get rid of all of those sins from our heart? How do we get rid of all of those sins from our heart? Go on, Asab. What do you think? Josh? Ask Jesus. Who can think of a song that says, what can wash away my sins? What does that hymn say? Can you remember? What can wash away my sins? Awesome. So we need... Did I do something wrong then? Oh, the choir. Did they harmonise? Fantastic. Okay, so we need the blood of Jesus to wash our sins away. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Sin can't be forgiven without blood being shed. Now that sounds a bit weird, because what do you normally wash your hands in, Emma? Just water and soap. So do you ever wash with dirty water? Do you ever go in a bath that's like full of mud?
No.
So you normally wash with like clean water, soapy water. So how can Jesus' blood wash away our sins? The interesting thing is this. You would think it would take something really clean to wash our sins away. But Aaron actually quoted 1 John 1:8 earlier on. If we say we have no sins, we lie and deceive ourselves. The verse before that says, but the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. So Jesus' blood can actually wash away our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave his blood that our sins might be forgiven. So it's only Jesus that can wash our sins away. Is that actual blood? No. No, it's not. Before you all freak out, it's food coloured in, but there we are. Thanks for ruining my illusion. So only Jesus' blood can wash our sins away. So, God proved his love for us. It says that God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood so that our sins could be washed away, so our sins could be forgiven. Does that then make us perfect? No. But it does cleanse our heart from our sins so that we can... Where can we go now? Put it this way. If you do something wrong today now or in the near future, which I'm sure it could happen at some point, if you did something wrong, how many of you have ever been sent to your room as punishment? Or I know there's different things today now, and there's like naughty steps and timeouts and naughty corners and grounded. And how many of you have ever been in trouble to the point where you've been sent to your room, you've been grounded, you've had stuff taken off you, or okay. So never had been grounded. You were awesome.
Many
times. Brilliant. So we've all done something wrong that's caused us to, for our parents to be not happy with us. So how then do we get back to the point of our parents being okay? We're grounded, or we've had things taken off us, and then what have we got to say in order for them to be able to forgive us? See, and this is why some of you may have been remained grounded for quite some time. This is why some of you might actually spend quite a lot of time in your bedrooms. It's not the same anymore. Is it? When we were children, we got sent to our bedrooms. We had nothing in our bedrooms but a bed. And maybe a few books and a few toys. Oh, I know. It's awful. I lived in the 70s, Emma. We didn't have phones. The only phone you had was something you had to dial with your finger. Brrr, remember those? We didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have computers or game equipment. So when we got sent to our rooms, it was a punishment. When you get sent to your rooms, it's like a holiday. But in order for us to put that right, what have we got to say?
Sorry.
So in order for us to be able to have Jesus cleanse us from our sins and to be able to apply his blood to our lives, the next verse after the one Aaron quoted this morning is, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So once we ask Jesus to save us and his blood cleanses us from sin, guess what he does then? He gives us the ability to be better. How does he do that? Who can you remember a song that we sing downstairs that is super, super, super fast, and that we can't actually fit all the words in because the song is so fast?
The fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. So, the fruit of the Spirit. Sorry, another pen. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? And it's easy enough, if you can read that. So just give me one. Aaron?
Love.
Emma?
Peace.
Right?
Joy.
Charlotte? Faithfulness.
Faithful. Long suffering.
Kia?
Goodness.
Gentleness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Aaron?
Long suffering.
We done that one.
Meekness.
That's it, yeah. I think there's one more, is there?
Yeah.
Temperance, good job. Okay, so, all of those seem like, some of those seem like big words. I don't know if it was ants or ends. I told you my spell checker goes crazy when I'm preparing sermons. Anyway, so, the Lord puts all of these things in our heart. When we get saved, we have love. So what do you think love means? Does that mean that we go around then giving everybody flowers? Because we've shown our love to our mums today by giving them flowers and chocolates. And so if we have love, does that mean we go around then loving everybody? What is the opposite of love? So does that mean then love just means that we treat people differently? You know, we shouldn't hate people. Let's have a look at something. I want to look at a verse of scripture, and I'll just read it out because it's the ones before the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before. So they are all horrible things, and they're similar to the things that we talked about earlier. But then Jesus replaces all of those things with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And he replaces all of those things. So instead of having like hatred in our hearts all the time, we should be different. Peace. And that just means that we have a peace with God because he's given us eternal life, and that we have peace with other people, that we don't walk around being angry and hateful and hurtful all the time. Joy. Now that doesn't mean that we have to walk around all the time being... Because sometimes we get sad, and there's nothing wrong with being sad. But the Bible says that joy comes despite what happens to us. So even if we're having a rough day at school, and if we're having a bad day, and even if our friends are being mean to us, and even if things are not going our way, we can still have a joy because Jesus has saved us, because Jesus has washed our sins away. Temperance, that's a long word, isn't it? It just means self-control. How many of you have ever said, I couldn't help it? Ever been in trouble and you've used the excuse, I couldn't help it? And we can help it because Jesus has given us self-control. So in those times that we're tempted to do wrong, and in those times where we are tempted to do the things that we talked about earlier, disobeying our parents, stealing, lying, hating people, we can exercise something called self-control, and we can ask God to help us. Meekness just means humility. Who knows what being proud is? Do you know what pride is? Where somebody's like all puffed up because they think they're the bee's knees and they think everything they do is awesome. Well, meekness is just humility. It's the opposite of pride. And it doesn't mean that we can't do something good. It just means that we give credit for it in the right place and we don't take all the credit for ourselves. Gentleness. It doesn't mean that we are weak as Christians. It just means that we're not meant to be angry and hateful and hurtful and wanting to kind of fight all the time. So Jesus puts all of those things in our hearts when he washes our sins away. So do we still sin even though we are Christians? Are there still times when instead of loving, we hate? Are there still times... Exactly. Are there still times in our lives where we haven't got peace, where we feel angry? Okay. Are there times in our lives when instead of having joy, we feel really sad and down? Are there times when instead of having faithfulness and being faithful to God and being faithful to praying and reading our Bibles and doing all those things, you know, like honouring our parents and trying to keep God's commandments, are there times when we're not faithful? Are there times when, you know, we're naughty? Are there times when we're not patient? I get very impatient when it comes to December because I want Christmas to come right now. So there are times when we're not patient. Are there still times when we're naughty and we're bad and we don't display goodness? Are there times when we're not gentle, when we are kind of quite, angry and hurtful towards people? Okay, are there times when we are proud? Are there times when we don't have any self-control? When we can't help ourselves? Oh, I can't help myself. So there are times when all of the fruit of the Spirit kind of disappear in our lives because We still what? Still do bad things. We still sin. So how would our sins removed in the first place? How do we get rid of our sins in the first place? What did we have to do in order for our sins to be forgiven? Ask Jesus into our heart. And what washed away our sins? His blood. So, on the verse that Alan said earlier with 1 John 1:8 and 1 John 1:7 and 1 John 1:9, what can we do even if we sin as Christians? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So even after we're saved, we still sin. Say sorry, but who do we say sorry to? Yeah, and what does he use then to be able to wash away the sins even after we're Christians? His blood. But the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he washes those sins away after we are saved. But guess what? The fruit of the Spirit is still there. We've still got that love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness and temperance in our life. And if we are struggling and if we feel that there's coming a time when we can't cope and we feel like, oh, everything's too much, that's why we need to pray. That's why the Bible says that we are to read God's word, because it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's why it's important to study God's word. That's why it's important to read God's word. That's why it's important to come to church, to Sunday school, to BLAST, to Compass Club, to read our Bible. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's important to remember verses. You know, Alistair says every week, it's all very well and good saying those verses on a Sunday morning, but do you remember them on Monday? Do we just learn them Sunday morning in the car coming to church? Do we just learn them Saturday night? Oh, quick, I need a verse for Sunday school. But we need to remember them all week, because if we read God's word and if we remember God's word, we put God's word in our heart so that we don't sin against him. So the next time our parents ask us to do something, we're about to say, perhaps the Bible verse will come to our minds where it says, honour your parents, as we sang about earlier, for this is right to do. The next time we're about to really hate on somebody, perhaps we'll remember a verse of scripture where the Lord said, love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. And maybe the next time we're going to sin against God, we'll remember a passage of scripture because we've hid his word in our heart. That's why it's important to read the Bible. That's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important even to sing some of the hymns. You know, we might not remember the verse, but they say, oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins in order for them to be cleansed so we can go to heaven. And then after we become Christians, it's the same blood that washes away our sins when we've done wrong and we can confess to God to help us. But then we read God's word so we can hide it in our hearts. So the next time we feel like we're about to sin, we can ask God, just bring that verse of scripture to remembrance. And perhaps it'll stop us from doing the wrong thing. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah tells us. But Jesus said he would give us a new heart, that he would cleanse us and that he would make us new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. That's why we keep saying, you need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior so you can go to heaven. But then after you're saved, we need to keep reading our Bible so we can grow and be the Christian that God wants us to be. So we can tell others about how wonderful Jesus is and how amazing heaven is. You know, our life doesn't last very long. You might think now, oh, we've got forever before we get old. Guess what? It comes around really, really quick. You know, there was a time when we were like I think it was a time where we were like the youngest people in our church at one point. We're not the youngest people in our church anymore. We feel like really old. But it's gone really, really quickly. If you were to ask the older ones here, do you remember when you were children? It might take a lot for them to remember that far back, but most of them would say, yeah. And most of them would agree that it's gone really quick. Our life doesn't last forever. Our life is really short. So we need to make sure that we know where we're going when our life comes to an end. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So he could forgive our sins and he could give us a home in heaven. And that's why it's important we know where we go when we die. But until then, because hopefully that won't be for a long time, until then, we've got to be good testimonies and witnesses. We've got to be a good example to our friends in school of what a Christian is. Because if they know that we go to church and then we still use the same bad language that everybody else uses, or we take God's name in vain, or we are the naughty one in class, or then is that a good example of who Jesus is? Is that a good example of what a Christian is? So that's why we need to be those good examples and for God to cleanse our heart from those sins that we commit so we can then tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You've been awesome listeners today. You've been absolutely fantastic. So there will be something for you all as you leave. So we'll have a little gift for you all, and there will be a gift for all the ladies as well as we leave today. You've been awesome listeners. Thank you ever so much. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this time together today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and for the blessings that you bestow upon our lives. Father, if there is one here today who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, then Father, I just pray that you would help them to recognise the fact that no matter how small a sin we might commit, that our one sin is enough to keep us from heaven. And our one sin was enough to put Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. But his blood can cleanse the worst of sin and even what we might view as the smallest of sins. And his blood alone can cleanse that sin from our lives and can give us a place in heaven if we would call upon his name and believe that he died upon the cross for us. Father, I thank you for all of these children this morning, for the wonderful the way in which they listened. And I just pray that you'd help them, Lord, in school, that you would help them at home, that you would help them to be a witness in school and to behave at home and just to be a good example and a good testimony of a Christian and of what Jesus has done in their hearts and their lives. Father, I just thank you again for this time together today and pray that you would, your hand of blessing would be upon each one of us, and we give you all the glory, honour and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing our last hymn together. Amen. And we'll stand as we sing. Carl will close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Carl.